Here's a basic economic principle. The price of a product usually falls over time. It's because competitors offer alternatives or new advances make past breakthroughs less valuable. Yet none of these typical pressures have driven down the price of insulin, as Everett resident Joanne Roten knows all too well. She's a diabetes patient who sometimes takes less than her prescribed dose to make her supply of insulin last longer.
It's upsetting to have to pay so much money for life-saving drugs. There's no way around it.
Today, as part of WBUR's week-long series, The Price of Health, WBUR's Callum Borchers looks at why insulin has gotten dramatically more expensive in recent years.
To fully appreciate what's unusual about insulin's price spike, think back to 1996. That's the year that drug maker Eli Lilly introduced Humalog, the first fast-acting insulin. It's also the year that Nintendo debuted the N64 video game system.
It's me, Mario!
The N64 was state-of-the-art, for its time. It cost $199 at first, but within 6 months, Nintendo cut the price 25% to match the rival Sony PlayStation. More price cuts followed until the companies launched new gaming systems. Now take Humalog insulin. It's gone from $21 a vial in 1996 to $275 today. Even adjusting for inflation, the current list price is 8 times the original.
Insulin manufacturers charge so much for a really simple reason, because they can.
Shannon Brownlee is co-chair of the Lown Institute's Right Care Alliance, a Brookline nonprofit that advocates for affordable health care. She says life-saving drugs like insulin defy normal consumer economics. If a video game system is too expensive, consumers can hold off buying. But with insulin...
Where is the downward pressure? Customers can't put downward pressure on it because they can't walk away. If they don't take insulin, they'll die.
Humalog isn't the only fast-acting insulin on the market anymore. Novo Nordisk makes one. So does Sanofi. Meanwhile, nutrition research has advanced, enabling some people with type 2 diabetes to reverse their insulin dependencies through special diets. Yet those developments have not been enough to save patients like Caitlin Hill from price hikes. She has type 1 diabetes, so between sips of her latte in a Boston coffee shop, she types 12 grams of carbohydrates into a device that controls an insulin pump on her arm. Then she does some back-of-the-napkin math on her recurring expenses. Insulin, test strips, pumps.
So that's a total of $750 a month.
$750 is a lot more than Nintendo's latest gaming system. Hill used to take Humalog. She's been on a different insulin, Sanofi's Apidra, for the past 8 years. But now, she says, her insurance company wants to switch her back.
So that's a little stressful. I think Humalog is cheaper, and that's why they want to do the switch.
Hill's insurer could save some money by moving her onto a half-price version of Humalog that Eli Lilly introduced last month. The company says it's identical to the brand name original. In a statement, Eli Lilly said it hears patients' concerns and wants to lower their out-of-pocket costs. Drug makers typically focus on out-of-pocket prices, emphasizing that few patients pay list prices when filling prescriptions. But patients don't get all the discounts they could, says Boston College health economist Sam Richardson.
These are kind of invisible payments in some sense.
He's talking about rebates, in other words, cash back that pharmaceutical companies offer insurers to entice them to cover drugs. Richardson says consumers often don't know how big those rebates are, and...
When you have these rebates, they are typically not reflected in what the consumer has to pay out of pocket when they are at the pharmacy.
So that means if you have a 10% copay, you're probably paying 10% of the list price, not 10% of what's left after the rebate. Another insulin cost driver is patents. Joseph Doyle is co-director of MIT's Initiative for Health Systems Innovation. He says patent laws allow the few dominant insulin makers to minimize competition by patenting incremental changes to their products, which makes it hard for cheaper generics to enter the market.
From a policy perspective, how strong do we want our patents to be for what we would think of as sort of Me Too improvements that aren't really major discoveries? They're just... They appear to be attempts to extend the life of patents.
In a WBUR poll, Massachusetts residents said the best way to bring down drug prices would be making it easier for lower-cost generic drugs to get approval. 88% said this would help a great deal or a fair amount. Other factors affect prices, too. Even though researchers at Harvard and two British universities estimate a $275 vial of Humalog costs only about $6 to produce, successful drugs like insulin have to cover more than just their own costs. The profit margin also has to make up for pharmaceutical companies' losses on therapies that never make it to market. It's a calculus that frustrates Caitlin Hill, the diabetes patient, who says the human cost should be a bigger part of the equation.
There's been people rationing insulin because they cannot afford it. I mean, at what cost?
Talk of profit margins can seem a bit cold when lives are at stake, but drug companies wouldn't pursue life-saving therapies if there weren't financial rewards, says Amitabh Chandra. He directs health policy research at Harvard Kennedy's School of Government.
And if we give them big incentives, they'll bring new products to market, but they won't charge us a low price. They only brought the products to market because they could charge a high price and make a ton of money. That's the reason they did it.
The Massachusetts Biotechnology Council contends that pharmaceutical firms' ability to make a ton of money can actually save money in the healthcare system overall. Here's CEO Bob Coughlin.
If a drug can cure somebody and keep them out of the hospital, it will save trillions of dollars in the long run, and that's what we really need to focus on.
The American Diabetes Association estimates the total cost of treating the disease is more than $200 billion a year in the United States alone. If insulin is expensive, just imagine what a company could charge for a cure. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Callum Borchers.